My partner and I have a six-year-old, and we want to let folks know how much we appreciate the House and the Senate being courageous and taking a vote to recognize our family.
I'm going to be a married man in Minnesota.
Homosexual-themed pornography is extremely accessible to young people if they ever visit any websites covering the gay agenda as news.
The fact that people cannot accept gays and lesbians is almost disgusting.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. International Actions Oppose Homo and Transphobia, Minnesota makes it a U.S. marriage equality dozen, and We Might Make You Gay, But Lesbian Moms Make You Smart. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Jason Proctor.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 18th, 2013. The annual International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, originally nicknamed Idaho, with the T added in recent years, was observed in more than 100 countries on May 17th. The event was created in 2004 to mark that date in 1990 when the World Health Organization officially removed homosexuality from its list of mental disorders. The United Nations released an official video message to mark the day, called The Riddle, that included comments by both the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon.
Every nation is obligated by international human rights law to protect all lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people from torture, discrimination, and violence.
The United Nations has one simple message to the millions of LGBT people around the world.
You are not alone. You are not alone.
There were a variety of International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia events across Asia. Press conferences, panel discussions, and flash mobs focusing on anti-LGBT bias and violence were held in Burma, Thailand, the Philippines, Cambodia, Hong Kong, Singapore, Vietnam, and India. But police in Nairobi stopped a march through the Kenyan capital on May 17th before it could get started, even though a permit had originally been issued for it. One of the organizers told Gay Star News that authorities said that the procession would be promoting homosexuality, which is a criminal offense in the African country. Police in St. Petersburg also shut down a rally in the city's main park after about 10 minutes for what they called health and safety reasons, after some 150 counter-protesters threw smoke pellets and small stones at about the same number of activists. It was nevertheless described as one of the largest public demonstrations for LGBT rights ever held in Russia.
The violence was far worse in Russia's southern neighbor, the Eurasian nation of Georgia. Thousands of anti-gay demonstrators, led by Christian Orthodox priests, broke through police barricades and attacked about 50 LGBT activists at a May 17th rally in the capital city of Tbilisi. According to Amnesty International, 17 people were injured, including 3 policemen and a journalist. 12 required hospitalization. Police put most of the LGBT activists on buses that were hastily driven away from the city center. Some of the attackers chased the buses, trying to break the windows with metal gratings, trash cans, and rocks. Activists who didn't make it onto the buses were reportedly pursued down streets or trapped in shops by angry mobs chanting anti-gay slogans. Government officials in Georgia, which is a candidate to join the European Union, condemned the violence, but critics said that the police failed to provide adequate security for the event. A similar rally held last year ended the same way.
About 300 anti-gay demonstrators protested a proposed bill in the Ukrainian parliament this week that would have banned workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation. The Ukraine is also a European Union wannabe, and its leaders want to bring the country's laws into line with EU standards. Following the protest in Kiev, however, the anti-bias bill was shelved indefinitely.
According to a survey by the European Union's Fundamental Rights Agency, released a few days prior to the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, virtually one in two LGBT people on the continent say that they've been discriminated against or attacked in the last 12 months for being who they are. The poll of more than 93,000 people, described as the first ever such large-scale survey, found younger and poorer LGBT people were the most frequent targets of discrimination or harassment. More than half of those who said they'd been physically assaulted didn't report it to the authorities because they feared an indifferent or hostile response.
There are conflicting reports about the sexual orientation of a young man who was brutally tortured and murdered this week in the Russian city of Volgograd. 23-year-old Vladislav Tornovoy was raped with broken beer bottles and his skull had been crushed with a large stone. Two of the victim's longtime friends are in custody. According to reports, they attacked Tornovoy after he came out to them while they were all drinking together. Some city officials have classified the murder as a hate crime, a rare designation in Russia. But according to a report in Pink News, both another friend of the young man and his parents insist that Tornovoy was not gay.
In happier news for LGBT people this week, Brazil's National Council of Justice ordered notary publics to register the civil unions of same-gender couples and to register them as civil marriages if couples request it. The nation's Supreme Federal Tribunal ruled in 2011 that lesbian and gay couples should be able to enter into legally recognized civil unions, even though they don't offer all of the rights of civil marriage. Some notary publics, who not only certify but also carry out marriage ceremonies in Brazil, have refused to comply with the High Court's civil unions ruling. The Council of Justice, led by High Court Chief Justice Joaquin Barbosa, voted 14-1 on May 14th to issue the order. Right-wing evangelical Christian lawmakers are threatening a court challenge, but legal scholars in Brazil say that the Council of Justice ruling virtually sanctions civil marriage for gay and lesbian couples across Latin America's largest nation. According to the Associated Press, 14 of Brazil's 27 states already offer civil marriage licenses to same-gender couples. If the Council of Justice order stands, the entire country would be the third in South America, after Argentina and Uruguay, to open civil marriage to all of its same-gender couples.
France's Constitutional Council, that nation's highest judicial body, has approved the marriage equality and adoption rights legislation that was passed in Parliament on April 23rd. The May 17th High Court ruling rebuffed the challenge by right-wing lawmakers and paved the way for the speedy signature on May 18th of President François Hollande, who had made marriage equality a key issue during his election campaign. While strident opposition to the measure still festers, wedding bells should begin to ring for French lesbian and gay couples as soon as May 29th. France will become the 14th nation to offer civil marriage to its same-gender couples.
Minnesota has become the 12th U.S. state, along with the District of Columbia, with marriage equality, bolstered by the rejection in November by Minnesota voters of a proposed constitutional amendment to define marriage in the state as exclusively heterosexual. Out State Representative Karen Clark and State Senator Scott Dibble introduced House File 1054 in their respective chambers. The Democrat-dominated House voted for its approval on May 9th, mostly along party lines. The State Senate followed suit on May 13th. Clark and Dibble joined a celebratory Governor Mark Dayton as he signed the legislation into law on the front steps of the state capitol in St. Paul on May 14th. The first marriage licenses for gay and lesbian couples will be issued on August 1st, although there were reports that a mandatory waiting period might delay the first wedding ceremonies until a few days thereafter.
It was a mixed bag this week for same-gender couples in Italy. The new government of Prime Minister Enrico Letta quashed the proposal by its own Equality Minister Josefa Idem to create some form of civil unions for same-gender couples. Idem told the Italian newspaper La Repubblica that we don't want Class B citizens. All citizens should have the same rights and the same duties. But Letta quickly rejected that notion, stating flatly that the legal recognition of same-gender couples is not on the government's agenda.
Meanwhile, deputies in Italy's lower house of parliament voted on May 14th to extend health benefits to their members' same-gender partners. Even though lesbian and gay couples are not legally recognized in the country, MPs can now have their health insurance coverage extended to the man or the woman they live with. Passage of the measure was spearheaded by out deputy Ivan Scalfarotto, who wanted his own partner protected. Left-wing deputy Alessandro Zan joined several LGBT activists to complain, however, that this right can't only be a privilege for MPs. There are many other gay and lesbian couples who are waiting for rights.
But finally, a court in Milan has recognized the legal union of a gay Italian couple. They contracted a civil partnership in Britain in June 2010 while they had temporary residence there. According to Gay Star News, it's the first time that a same-gender union from abroad has been legally recognized in Italy. The couple has only been identified in news reports by their first names. While the civil partnership of Christian and Federico isn't federally recognized, the couple is now entitled to hospital visitation rights in Milan and to apply for local benefits. Federico noted that he and Christian have been a couple for 8 years. The recognition by the Milan Tribunal is just a little thing, he said, but it's also an important step towards equality.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 18th, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced this week by Wenzel Jones and Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep This Way Out on the air at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Jason Proctor.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
Is logging on to thiswayout.org more or less likely to make you gay than having two lesbian moms? We'll try to answer that question later in the program. Minnesota voters defeated a proposed constitutional amendment last November to define marriage as exclusively heterosexual. The State House of Representatives passed a bill barely 6 months later to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. This Way Out correspondent Dixie Trichel was at the Capitol in St. Paul on May 13th when the state Senate cast its final vote.
Tell me why you're at the Capitol today.
It's equality. I mean, why would you deny someone the opportunity that they deserve?
My perspective is marriage should be between a man and a woman. There's no way that children can come into the world than that of between a man and a woman in the sacrament of marriage.
I'm Reverend Rebecca Vocal, and I'm here because my partner and I have a 6-year-old, and we want to let folks know how much we appreciate the House and the Senate being courageous and taking a vote to recognize our family. I'm also here because, as a pastor, this whole movement and campaign has been about deep respect and love and the freedom to marry and conversations. And so I wanted to bring those values with me here today, and we've been having conversation with supporters and people who are against it, but trying to continue to foster a space of civility and love and respect.
The House author of House File 1054, State Representative Harris.
What an honor to be here with you all who helped make this happen. You know, I got to be one of the torch carriers who got to make the speeches and help put the words together and pass the bill. But you all have done so much work. We are delivering justice to the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Senator Scott Dibble. That's right. I'm going to be a married man in Minnesota. See this day if we worked hard enough, if we dreamed hard enough, if we stuck to it, because that's what democracy is all about working hard and making and building and dreaming of a better future for yourself and for those who follow.
I'm R.T. Ryback. I'm mayor of Minneapolis, and I can't even describe how great it feels to have stood in the same place 2 years ago thinking the state was about to vote to limit people's rights, and instead the state took the right vote, and now the legislature did, and I'm overwhelmed. I think anybody who looks around at the city I've been lucky enough to lead knows that there isn't a single block in the city of Minneapolis that hasn't been made dramatically better by members of a community that finally has equal rights. It is, to me, one of the core civil justice issues that we'll ever face in our generation, and I can't think of any more clarity than a state going 360 degrees in about 2 years. And that says everything about all the members of this community just looking people in the eye and saying, this is me, this isn't some stranger, this isn't some other, this is me. And that's what is beautiful. I'm really happy.
When will you get married?
All of us are going to be able to be married as of August 1st if we want to. My partner and I were legally married in California in that brief window of time on July 4th, 2008. So we're not exactly sure how we're going to mark it here, but that's one of the questions. We've been talking with lots of folks and saying, okay, you're legally married in Canada or you're legally married in Iowa. What are you going to do here? But we know that our daughter's going to be the flower girl, whatever it is.
My name's Tim Robinson, and today we're putting behind us 50 years of my pain and 50 years of people saying no and never. And it can happen, and we can love, and we can be recognized. Our lives are validated now. Our love is validated. It didn't need to be, but now we have the rights and protections for each other.
Now we can legally, in Minnesota, my home state, be married.
And that's my partner, Gary Lundstrom.
Dixie Trichel staked out the state capitol in St. Paul for the momentous passage of Minnesota's marriage equality bill. MSNBC's Rachel Maddow tracked the history that led up to it.
On December 9th, 1974, Minnesota State Senator Alan Speer came out on the front page of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. The article read, Alan Speer is a 37-year-old freshman member of the Minnesota Senate, a DFLer, which is the Democratic Farm Labor Party in Minnesota. Alan Speer is an associate professor of history at the University of Minnesota, a respected specialist in Afro-American history. Alan Speer has a doctorate degree from Yale and has written a book on the making of the Chicago Black Ghetto. Alan Speer has long been active in DFL, civil rights, and peace causes, and is ranked as the most liberal state senator in an Americans for Democratic Action survey. Alan Speer also is a homosexual, and as of today, he does not care who knows it. Alan Speer made history that day as one of the first ever openly gay elected officials in this country. That was 1974, that front page story. In the 28 years he ended up serving in the state Senate, partially through his leadership, Minnesota had some landmark achievements in gay rights, including a sweeping anti-discrimination statute passed in 1993. But although they did have some landmark achievements as a state, Minnesota never got around to recognizing marriage equality. Then in the midterm elections in 2010, it was the Republican Party that took control of both chambers of the Minnesota legislature for the first time in 40 years. And with their newfound power, Minnesota Republicans put on the ballot a state constitutional amendment to doubly, triply ban gay marriage once and forever in the state, even though gay marriage wasn't legal there anyway. But Republicans wanted a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, and they put it on the ballot. And then when it went up for a statewide vote last year in November, it lost. That had never happened before, ever. 31 states had voted on amendments just like that one, and all 31 had voted against marriage equality until that all changed this past November. Minnesotans made history in November when they voted no, when they decided not to change their state constitution to ban equal marriage rights. And at the same time, on the same election day, on the same ballot, Minnesota voted to return the control of both houses of their legislature to the Democratic Party, to the DFL. And the Democrats in Minnesota decided that that vote, where the state had said no to banning equal rights, that vote deserved another vote. And so beyond just not banning same-sex marriage, the state, they decided, should legalize same-sex marriage. And last Thursday, the Minnesota House took up the question. It passed by a surprisingly comfortable margin. Even a handful of Republicans voted yes. And that sent it to the state Senate, where yesterday, with a packed rotunda for what everybody anticipated to be a historic day, the Minnesota State Senate debated and then voted. And the Minnesotans who support equal marriage rights ended up doing much better than anybody expected.
Members, please. Please vote yes. Vote yes for freedom. Vote yes for family, for commitment, for responsibility, for dignity. Vote yes for love.
That was Democratic State Senator Scott Dibble, who's an openly gay member of the legislature and who is the man who now holds the same Senate seat that was once held by Alan Speer. Senator Dibble authored the marriage equality legislation, and throughout the whole debate, he wore Alan Spears' campaign pin in tribute. It took 4 hours of debate, and then the same-sex marriage bill passed the state Senate yesterday by a vote of 37 to 30. Lots of votes to spare, even some Republicans. And that makes Minnesota the 12th state in the country to recognize marriage equality and the third state to do so just this month. Minnesota's Democratic Governor Mark Dayton signed the bill into law this afternoon, just a few hours ago, on the steps of the state capitol.
That was MSNBC News commentator Rachel Maddow.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. An informed community is a strong community.
Oops. While much of the U.S. seems to be on a steady roll into a future of equality, some segments of society are spinning in a counterclockwise direction. Based in the U.S. Midwest, Mission America has been designated a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Its president and founder, Linda Harvey, spewed this screed recently on her weekly radio show.
Why don't you be like me? Why don't you stop and see? Why don't you hate who I hate you? I kill to be free.
I've gotten calls over the years from parents who are brokenhearted because a young son or daughter has revealed a homosexual preference. My role is not to be a psychologist, but I try to share some resources with parents who are coping with such a tough situation, and they often share with me that pornography played a part, particularly with boys, in convincing them to believe they are gay. But usually by the time this comes out, the feelings and fantasies have been nurtured for years. It seems to me that in the present climate, where schools, Hollywood, and even the top leaders in our country are all busy selling homosexuality to kids, that we have to watch those other deceptive influences that can chime in on top of all this to stir feelings in a young person that were not in play before. Internet pornography can be the kerosene on an already simmering fire of adolescent hormones and confusion, and these feelings can bring them to precisely the wrong conclusion. Manipulating feelings in the wrong direction is what pornography does anyway. Homosexual-themed pornography is extremely accessible to young people if they ever visit any websites covering the gay agenda as news. For instance, if your child was doing a report on same-sex marriage, just researching the political issue and visiting sites that are sympathetic to the social and political goals of the homosexual movement may quickly bring them in touch with explicit images, because many of the homosexual news blogs have soft porn, gay dating sites, or worse, as ads. So what is the reaction of your son or daughter to such graphic images? If they feel a curiosity, it may start a process of wondering if they could be homosexual. This is not true, of course, but the really tragic thing is they are not likely to share this question with you, the parent. It just seems too personal. If they follow up and visit these sites, some will experience sexual feelings and mistake these for the pervasive fiction of some inborn gay identity. After all, isn't this the message kids get everywhere, that some of you are destined for homosexuality and there's nothing you can do about it, so just go with it and be proud? All of this, of course, is a lie. Adolescents will feel sexual feelings because they are in puberty, and erotic images can evoke, in an often unhealthy way, a human sexual response.
Linda Harvey's sugar-coated hate speech and bizarre distortions fly in the face of the lived experience of real LGBT families. An 18-year-old told one such story when a Nevada State Assembly committee heard testimony in support of marriage equality on May 9th.
My name is Riley Roberts, and my life is amazing. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you about the issue of gay marriage and how it affects my life. What issue? I see no issue. I was born in Reno, Nevada, 18 years ago. And guess who was there? My mom, Pamela Roberts, and Gretchen Miller. My loving parents. And who was there to watch me take my first step? Pamela Roberts and Gretchen Miller. And who was there when I said my first words? My two loving parents. And who was there when I kicked my first soccer ball? My two loving parents. And who can I talk to when I need anything? My two loving parents. And who will be there to see me walk across the stage next month and receive my honors diploma? my two gay loving parents who have been together for 22 years. They have been with me on my journey through life, and they have supported me through everything. They take me camping, fishing, hunting, everything I could ever want to do. They provide everything for me. My mother, Gretchen, has been paying taxes and paying into Social Security for at least 40 years. But if she dies, my mom, Pam, will not receive those survivor spouse benefits. Why? Because the government doesn't recognize their relationship and as a marriage. They are denied the rights, the freedoms, and the ability to be a full and equal citizen of the United States of America and this great state of Nevada. I love them very much, and I want them to have the same rights that I and my friends have. Some people on the opposing side that think that children are deprived of a father or mother figure if the same-sex couple raises a child. But when I look at my life and compare it to others of my friends, I see no difference. I am not missing out on anything. I have knowledge and opportunity and like any other child. I can even tie my own tie. My parents love, breathe, speak, feel pain, and most of all, know that their love is more than any paper can do or say, and that they will be together forever. The idea of an opposition to equal rights just bewilders me. I can't even fathom it. How can you not accept my family and other families just like ours, especially after knowing what happened during the civil rights movement? The similarities are numerous, and the fact that people cannot accept gays and lesbians is almost disgusting. Thank you for listening to what I have to say, and I hope everyone knows how much equality means to me and my family, and I hope that you will vote do pass on SJR 13.
The definition's plain for anyone to see. Love is all it takes to make a family.
Year-old Riley Roberts testified before a Nevada Assembly Committee on May 9th in support of a state marriage equality bill. The Nevada Senate already voted its approval in April. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Jason Proctor, Natalie Peoples, and Dixie Trico contributed program material. Thanks also to Wenzel Jones and Steve Pride. The Monkees and Romanofsky and Phillips performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, and by listener contributions. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to find out more about the show and the crew, request CDs of our programs, and find links to our podcasts, blog, and Facebook page. You can also hear This Way Out on iTunes. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 3BBB Ballarat, Victoria, KWTF Bodega Bay, California, WVEW Brattleboro, Vermont, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.